let you go.
After all the show, after the boys of summer, amid all the confusions, friends I've been losing, I was far from the start. I didn't know fair enough. I guess I'll never.
And your wrist got bruised, and you wanted better love. Well, it's sleeping in your back too. Hold on, stay on my side. Don't go. If you could see me, whoever I am, it's not like a movie. It's not all skin and bones. So come on, love.
Come on, come on, come on, go.
Nah, 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 nah. I will not let you go. If you could see me, whoever I am.
Good evening, welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Foot Tall Cakes with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead, and Jake is on the line.
Hey! We were just, before in the nigh 30 seconds that we had to catch up on old times before the show started, we were talking about how Mr. Skullhead's child apparently recently celebrated his first birthday.
He did.
When was his birthday? I can never remember what day he was born.
January 14th.
Was it Wednesday? Was he full of woe?
I think he was a Tuesday child. I don't know. What day was the 14th on this year? No, it was Wednesday.
Oh, sweet. Got the next Joey Lawrence on your hands. I was saying that what Mr. Skullhead should have done was started a tradition right now where the cake that he makes for his son's birthday every year is a cake that is the exact size and shape of his son.
I mean, that's going to be easy for at least a couple of years, right? His... might be tricky once he's 18.
Yeah.
I think
somebody's going to have to look at his dong to make sure the cake is accurate.
So, really, this whole thing is about you trying to see my son's dong.
Well, 18 years from now.
Finally.
I don't know what I'm going to be into.
Yeah, who knows? I think that we should just make the cake, because he was 12 months old this time, and the cake was about 12 inches tall. So I think we should just have an inch for every month he's been alive.
Oh, yeah. Or an inch for every inch my penis is long.
You just want his birthday cake to be a one-to-one scale model of your penis. That's what you're saying. What is
that
with penises?
No, because it's only about as big as a pencil, so it wouldn't feed that many people.
I don't know. How many people has it fed in the past?
Oh!
You know, a child's first birthday party is kind of awesome. Because, especially a kid like Oliver, who just enjoys running around looking at people. It's like, we invite all of our friends over, we have them bring their children, and around about 6 o'clock, the other kid's left, kid goes to bed, and we just have a party.
Uh-huh.
Like a normal party at our house with the, boiling oil, hot wax, and disco music. So, it was kind of cool.
You don't let the kid get drunk with you?
No, not at 12 months. I'm not a monster.
Oh, he has to be 21 months old.
Yeah. When his cake is
so
21
inches tall. Is your kid walking? Is that something that happens?
Apparently he walked a little bit early. Like, he was 10 months old when he started walking around, and most boys don't get up to that until after their first birthday.
You know what they also don't do is cry.
Yeah.
And if he's white, he probably won't be able to jump.
Big girls don't cry either.
Oh, that's true. And since you're a big girl, he's had no examples of how to cry.
Right. No, because my wife is kind of a small girl, and they do cry. She was a small girl when I met her. Wow.
But she'll be a woman soon.
Eventually.
And it's her party, and she'll be a woman soon if she wants to. It's her quinceañera. She'll be a woman soon if she wants to.
It's my party, and boys don't cry if they want to.
Why do they still do a quinceañera when it's not okay to marry 15-year-old girls?
Who said it's not okay?
Well, the law and Jesus.
Oh, I see.
Actually, I don't think Jesus had an opinion.
Is the quinceañera a kind of, like, announcement, hey, my girl's on the market now?
I don't know. I mean, I cannot imagine a cultural reason for that other than that, right? And like, because I mean, isn't that kind of what like a debutante ball is?
It is, I guess, a becoming a woman, becoming a lady, not a little girl anymore.
Yeah.
If there's grass on the field, play ball. I think quinceañera is actually Spanish for the phrase "if there's grass on the field, play ball."
Uh huh. Yeah. Old enough to bleed, old enough to breed.
Jesus.
The problem with that is that it's kind of a tautology, right? Like, yeah.
That is an accurate statement, yes.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, that like, in a way, like, so you are more grossed out by that than you are by if there's grass on the field, play ball, when in fact, if there's grass on the field, play ball is, like, sleazier.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's weird. So how've you been? That was your kid. I mean, I guess you've been having a birthday party for your kid.
Yeah, we had Zelania was in town for the weekend, so we kind of went all over the place. Oh, I saw Avatar.
Oh, yeah? Anyway. What'd you think?
I had to break ranks with my hipster douchebag brethren, because I really enjoyed it. I figured...
Oh, really? Yeah. I was not under the impression that people in general had reacted negatively to it.
Like Onion AV Club types. Like, well, this is just, you know, it's a really simplistic plot, and it's a plot that we've seen before, and we got a one-dimensional villain, there's not much character development, but it's really great.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that all those things are true, but I don't, you know, I didn't go to it wanting literature, you know?
See, I would say that they're all true, but, I don't know, like, the AV Club kind of compared it to The Phantom Menace, say. And I would argue that The Phantom Menace had no, like... no emotional core whatsoever.
It was Phantom Menace was all over the place, yeah. and did not... one thing that Avatar had was a comprehensible, if cliche, plot.
And I thought it had an emotional core. Like, I was invested in the fate of that world. Maybe not any individual characters, but just kind of... Plus, it was fucking cool. Like, people are overlooking the fact that their whole animistic, all life is energy religion... was really just science. Like, they figured out how their world works. It's a computer, and they all have USB ports in their ponytails.
Right.
So, like, this is the tree where our elders talked to us. Totally was.
Yep.
So, I thought the whole thing was neat. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I don't know that I would sit through it again. You know, I mean, it's something that I maybe get on DVD a couple years from now.
I'd like to see it again in 2D.
Oh, I saw it in 2D the first time. I figured that 3D would be a distraction, so I didn't...
Yeah, it convinced me... Yeah, you know, this was the movie that was going to convince us about 3D being absolutely required for some films, and it convinced me that no, it's not. Huh. So I found myself continually closing one eye just so all of the big action sequences came into focus.
I see.
Yeah.
I found it kind of... like vertigo inducing at times, jumping around on the big floating mountains. I don't know, you know, I thought it was cool. I don't know that I would have spent $1 billion you know, for like, I don't know that I feel like, and this is ridiculous, right? Like, I was reading, where was I reading this, somebody was talking about like some criticism leveled at Improv Everywhere by saying, like, you know, why are you spending all of this time and energy making people take their pants off on the train in San Francisco when you could be having them work in a soup kitchen or whatever?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And the proper response to that is, like, shut the fuck up, you know? Because that's not what we're doing. I mean, what, you know, why are you brushing your teeth instead of donating money to the Red Cross? Well, because it's time to fucking brush my teeth, you know? Like,
well, I would say, like, why are you working at the job that you have instead of working for the Peace Corps or working for Doctors Without Borders in Haiti? Like, because not everybody can do that.
Right, and not everybody needs to all the time, right? You could go back and forth on whether the ability to do something good counts as an obligation to do it.
Well, the other thing is, that guy doesn't command, like, an army of minions because he has them go do philanthropic work. He commands an army of minions because it's fun to kind of mess with people's heads and brighten their day.
Yeah, he has cool ideas or whatever, and convinces people to do this stuff. But so what I was about to say was, I don't know that I feel like the existence of Avatar is a particularly good justification of the use of $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
You know, but then I'm like, you know, it wasn't my $1 billion, so fucking whatever.
And if it's gonna make that money back, then clearly it was worth doing.
Sure. I mean, I guess it was like, you know, I mean, I probably spent $15 for it, so.
I thought it was, it's funny, like, the special effects were really good in that the humans looked seamlessly integrated with the surroundings.
It really did feel like the blue guys were there, which was kind of nice.
I wouldn't say that it succeeded in making everything photorealistic, because I didn't think everything looked real. I thought everything looked of a piece. Like, nothing...
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just like being in a really well-done video game, you know?
Right.
It was just fine. What I kind of liked about it is that every time, and not every time, I noticed this happening a handful of times, where I was like, man, if I was that guy, I would totally go fuck with that plant. And then the guy just went and fucked with the plant. It was like they kind of managed to express the sort of, like, sense of wonderment that I think that situation would actually engender.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool. And then there were some fucking machine, like, that, you know, even the bad guys, like the military guy, like, is a total badass. Like, I like that character, you know?
Yeah.
Super one-dimensional, but I mean, fucking Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket was super one-dimensional.
And he's not necessarily evil, he's just a guy who has an understanding of the world that these people aren't actually people, so we have a job to do, and...
Us with the blacks.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get some of the criticism leveled at it, and I think it's really funny that people are going, well, clearly this is about Iran, clearly this is about Iraq, clearly this is about global warming. Like, no, it's your classic archetypal, it's a bad idea to fuck with native people who know more about nature than you do. Doubly so if they've lived on a world for thousands of years.
I guess it is the classic sort of, like, fairy tale about that being the case, right? Like...
Yeah. Well, you know, like, it's rooted, I guess, in the Native American thing. Like, I think it's okay to say it was a bad idea, it was a bad thing to take away Native Americans' land and kill them. I'm not sure why that's a controversial statement to make in a movie.
Right, I mean, I don't know. Do you think that history bears out it being that simple of a distinction? I mean, do you think that the amount of good done... Do you think it is possible for the amount of good done by America as an empire and as a civilization outweighs the evil of the act of just sort of, like, manifest destiny?
Only if you could say... I think you can still say, like, it was evil to go about it the way it got gone about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there... You know, do you suppose that there... Has there ever been an example? And not, you know, I'm not saying that if it has never happened, then it can't happen and is clearly a bad idea, but has there ever been an example of a primitive culture being sort of adopted into a more advanced culture and it not having been just a horrible clusterfuck for the primitive culture?
Maybe not, but I think we can still say it's a bad thing to go around massacring people because you're not sure they're people.
Sure. But what if you want their stuff?
Oh, well, then that's all right. Yeah. It depends. Is it really nice stuff?
I mean, I feel like as long as some of you are having sex with some of them, that also evens it out a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Well,
because I mean, they get to bang Whitey, which that's a privilege.
If they don't have the initiative to find the one white guy who's gonna somehow know more about their culture and lifestyle than they do, and save them from these guys, then you know, fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think this is just a retelling of the timeless human classic story, Dune.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
That was the one thing, like, it did get me a little to see him go and grab the big red bird thing. Like, hey, yeah. I have an idea. I'll attack him from above. He'll never expect it. Like, how did every single other Na'vi on the planet not think of that at some point?
Well, because they're ignorant savages.
Oh, well, that's true.
But right? I mean, I think that's kind of the idea, though, right? I mean, you, in order for him to be a sympathetic character to the, like, sort of, you know, white, vaguely racist on some level, no matter what they actually believe, audience, like, he has to be smarter than them. Right, or he's not. I don't know. You know, I mean, he like gets his comeuppance a bunch of times for being arrogant or whatever. But then in the end, like, nope. It turns out he was better than them. You know, which is like, yeah. I don't know. The one criticism I see leveled at it that I can kind of get behind is like it took zero risks.
Sure.
But like I said, I didn't need it to take any risks. You know, I thought it was pretty awesome.
I just kind of put it. Even when the first trailers were coming out, it just went firmly into the kids movie category. So, like, when I watched The Lion King, I didn't expect Scar to be a multidimensional villain and for the plot to take unexpected twists and turns, because it's fucking kids movie. And that's kind of where Avatar, regardless of how it was marketed, landed for me. It's like, this is a kids movie. Everything is in primary colors. Try not to think too hard about it. Of course it's not going to be Memento, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, I enjoyed Avatar, and I'm not afraid to say it. I guess, like, it had that fifth element kind of, this is a director telling a story that's really important to him that he's been thinking about since he's 15, and he's just so into it that, like, to me that's infectious, and to other people they thought it was cheesy and kind of turned him off.
Right. Yeah.
I do like...
So somebody had written in recently, it's toward the bottom of the question, so I pulled it out so we can read it at the beginning of the show and discuss it. Becuary writes, any thoughts on the changes to Neko's candy hearts this year? plans to alter the heart descriptions to reflect this travesty? I don't think that we would alter the in-game item description because of this, but did you read about what they've done to the conversation hearts this year?
No, what have they done?
Well, I personally don't think it's that big of a deal, because I never really liked the conversation hearts.
I like them. They're the opposite of Altoids. They're curiously weak.
See, what they did was they just sort of made them modern flavors as opposed to, like, you know, 1800s candy flavors, which this... that one tastes a bit like that peppermint I tasted back as a child, you know? Like... and like, this one has a hint of lavender or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, you know, the one thing, the yellow ones are no longer banana, which those are the only ones that were, like, good. Because, I mean, so the white ones, I don't know if they got rid of them or what. Like, they're now, like, cherry and lemon and orange and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, they sort of modernized. But, like, somebody was complaining because they put in, like, text me. But that happened a long time ago, I thought.
Yeah. It was,
and, I mean,
fax me for a while.
Which is kind of funny. I mean, you know,
I like that because it was fax me in like 1998. It was still fax me.
Yeah, I honestly, a lot of stuff like that, the older I get, the less I mind it, because I know that it's going to be kind of funny in like 20 years.
Right.
And it's like worth stuff being kind of stupid now so that it can have existed as a cultural artifact.
Hmm. Is there a tweet me?
I believe that there is a tweet me.
Huh.
Which, that kind of doesn't make any sense.
True. But you can't fit, like, make me into a hashtag searchable on Twitter.
Right, right.
Or right. use my at tag to send me a private message on the Twitter?
I saw, or tweet. I guess, is using somebody's at tag to send them a message on Twitter tweeting someone?
Probably.
Do you suppose if you, if you sent a Twitter message to a Mexican and then flipped him off, he would describe your act as tweety bird?
Yep.
Okay. Disgusted myself a little bit with that one. PKD equals legend writes on the Twitter, my friend is very impressed with your palindromes in the palindome area. He wanted to know, did you write them or Google them? Were any of those original?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't, like, the only...
Certainly none of mine.
The only palindrome in the game that I know is original is just sort of implied by the existence of smut orcs.
Right.
Because that is a palindrome that I made up, which is smut orcs deliver reviled scrotums.
Yeah.
That, I believe, is the only palindrome that I have ever made up, so I did not make up any of those. I don't know about... I want to say that Riff... Most of the work on the palindrome was us just looking at massive lists of palindromes and then figuring out how to incorporate them.
Yeah, I think
Grimlock is the person that initially it was just there was a thing about delivering a rousing speech to the troops in the palindrome, and then he was like, hey, you should actually write that speech, and in fact, I've done it for you. And just a collection of vaguely military-sounding martial palindromes.
Yeah, but I do think that the accomplishment in the palindrome was not writing a bunch of interesting original palindromes, but making them fit the narrative.
Yeah, to the extent that they do.
Right, right. Telling stories about palindromes. I like the Bad Moon adventure in there, where just all of the dialogue is palindromic.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one that is.
Oh, it's the one where the artist is painting people's hands to look like dog paws and swap for a pair of paws.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like that Ava, can I stack Rod's sad dork-ass cats in a cave? Made it in there somehow.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things that you can say. Dare to Smile says, why no Mythbusters references? They'd be fun. I mean, like, I could imagine putting them in as an NPC in a clan dungeon or something, you know, yeah. Like, but it's not really the kind of, it's not really like a thing, right?
Yeah, I'm watching enough Mythbusters to be able to reference something from a specific episode. I don't think I would do.
Yeah, do you not like Mythbusters?
I just have never gotten into it. Yeah, I think it's interesting that they do what they do.
That was I was trying to think the other day on the Thursday show. There are several things that Hot Stuff gets mad at because they're not science, and I couldn't think of the other one, but it's totally Mythbusters.
Yeah, and
people who hate Malcolm Gladwell because he's not a scientist. Well, you know, not everybody's a fucking scientist. He never said he was a scientist. Penn and Teller's bullshit is apparently not science either.
Sure. And I don't understand being mad at the Mythbusters because they don't follow exacting scientific standards. It's not really what either. They're about, you know?
Yeah, no, you know, I don't know. Maybe you have to be gay to really be upset about that.
That is a horrible stereotype, that gay people are offended by things that are not science.
Yep. But it's true, you know? I've never met a gay person that wasn't offended by things that weren't science. For instance, you know, being called homo is not science. And that has offended every gay person. No, you know what? That has never offended any gay person that I've known.
Right.
Which is why I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I'm forgetting my core beliefs here.
Yeah, dude.
I should do some field research while I'm here. I'll bet. What I could do is I could just all right, first I'm going to drink like half a bottle of whiskey. And then I'm just going to wander the streets on a Saturday night, the streets of San Francisco, just calling every man I see a faggot. And then, if they punch me, I will try and have sex with them. And if they refuse, I will know that they are not gay. And by that science, I will determine that only people who are not gay are offended by being called a faggot.
I think some people who are gay are offended when they hear you call somebody else faggot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think maybe people who are gay, or at least people who get offended by things. I think Frontalot got offended when I called somebody a faggot. Like, yeah. When you call somebody a faggot to, like, indicate that they are, you know, a pussy, uh-huh. or acting like a woman. And maybe women get offended when you say that, too. But I don't know. You know, like, let's say that you were like, hey, could you move this bale of hay from one side of the room to the other for me? And then instead of moving the bale of hay, they just, like, start crying. Like, I think in that case, you need to be able to call that dude something. And, you know, if it's not faggot, I don't know what it is.
And it's also true that anytime one of us makes fun of somebody for not being masculine, macho, or manly, it's pretty obvious that we're kind of having them on, right?
What? I'm macho and manly.
Sure, in the Bizarro universe.
No, come on, in the regular universe.
Bizarro Jick, am very manly.
Macho Man football. Randy Savage has nothing on me. I'm at least as good at rapping as Macho Man Randy Savage, and that makes me both macho and a man, and savage, and Randy.
I'm going to stay far, far away from you.
But it's weird that his name is, except for man, his name is entirely adjectives.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can use man as an adjective, right? Like, man boobs. Is man an adjective in the phrase man boobs? Like, is bat an adjective in the phrase bat shit?
I would think
like
so.
Like, if you're talking about the actual substance.
Sure.
When you use a noun as a modifier like that, what is it, an adjective?
I would think so.
So basically, his name is either all adjectives or things that can be used as adjectives. I had this sequence of really weird dreams over the last, like, two or three nights. And, The first one was, like, do you ever, you know how you're supposed to, like, they say, well, you know, the key to lucid dreaming is figuring out that you're dreaming, and then you realize, hey, I'm dreaming, and then you're suddenly conscious, and you can do whatever you want in the dream. And I was like, I really wish that would happen, because, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to be able to do in a dream. You know, a lot of celebrity ladies, for instance. But, so I was having a dream that I was in an airplane. And it's like the same thing that happens almost every time that I have a dream in an airplane, which is the pilots just kind of are fucking around and going nuts and like flying in barrel rolls and shit. And I was like, because I was like flying from Vegas to Phoenix, and the plane just starts doing barrel rolls and then just like flying really low over the top of all the buildings on the strip. And I'm like, man, this is weird, because this is what planes always do when I'm dreaming, but this is real life, so I'm kind of freaked out. This is dangerous. So it was like, I remembered something from another dream, but it did not... But I was like, am I dreaming? Nope, definitely not dreaming. So I guess I'm like the world's worst lucid dreamer.
I don't know if it's... I guess it's the first step is to know that you're dreaming and to admit that you have a problem. But I've had plenty of dreams where like, wow, I'm totally dreaming right now. I would very much like for something else to be happening, and it just doesn't. Like, it's not like... realizing you're dreaming turns you immediately into Neo from the Matrix, you know? There have been some dreams where I have been lucid and been able to control the action of the dream, but I kind of wonder if I was just dreaming that I was able to control what was happening in my dream.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, no, that's a good question. And then the next night I had a dream that I was at some KOL party and Bill Clinton showed up for whatever reason, and I was drinking beer with Bill Clinton on a couch.
Very nice. What were you drinking?
I think Sam Adams. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And then I had a dream last night. This was fucked up. I had this, like, I was, like, taking a class or something, and I had to watch some documentary. And I'm like, I couldn't get it on the internet anywhere, so I'm like, well, fuck, I guess I have to go to Blockbuster and rent this documentary. So I go to Blockbuster, and I ask them for the documentary, and he was like, yeah, we have it. But we only have it on UMD. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, what the fuck kind of Blockbuster is this? And why, I didn't even think they were putting new movies on. And this isn't even like a movie. It's like a fucking documentary. But like, I was mad at the guy. And I think he had a beard. So that was probably another reason that I was mad at him. This fucking guy with beard.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, well, fine. I guess I'll take it. And then he like rings it up and hands me the thing, and I sign the credit card receipt, and as I'm walking out of the store, I happen to pull the receipt out of my pocket and look, and realize that I had accidentally bought the UMD documentary for $89 instead of renting it for $1. And then I went back in, and he wouldn't let me return it, because he was like, nope, you bought it. All sales are final. And then I was, like, really mad and yelling at the dude.
You were like, you and your beard.
Yeah. Fucking beard. Fucking UMD. What the fuck? I don't, like... But Blockbuster doesn't even rent UMD movies, do they?
Blockbuster is barely around anymore.
Oh, yeah?
All of the Blockbusters that were near my house are now gone. And all the video updates and Hollywood videos. And there's like one video store in Minneapolis now. Chain one, anyway. Oh, DJ Lady Arsenic says she's been asking for a bigger pic of the Black Cat familiar so she can tattoo it on her body.
Huh.
You should provide that to her.
Huh.
Then she'll quit bugging me about it. And everybody wins.
Well, yeah, I'll have to just draw it, I think.
Is that too
unless
high a
price? Unless she can wait till I get back and rescan it larger. Yeah, because I'm sure that I have the original artwork in my binder.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Sorry, I'm just doing my usual research for things to talk about on the show while we're having the show.
Yeah.
The success of Avatar has George Lucas talking about re-releasing the entire Star Wars sextology in 3D. Yeah. It'll be great. How do you feel about that?
10 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, this apartment keeps the internet is finally like the problems we were having with the internet were apparently localized to just a day or two, so everything is better now. And I've been getting a tremendous amount of work done over the last couple of days, but I feel like somehow work and fast internet is causing the ants to multiply. There are like thousands and thousands and thousands of ants in this apartment.
Ah.
It's fucking gross. Like, the entire apartment, like, in every room, there is basically a nonstop trail of ants. It is almost as though they're not actually coming after something in the apartment. It's like they're just, the ant hill is in the backyard, and there's, like, a big source of food that they found in the front yard or something. Because
so they're just like, passing through.
Yeah, but they're passing through and kind of, you know, I feel like ants naturally have a tendency to just kind of spread out and check things out. And so they're like, every day, like, hey, maybe there's some food on this dude's arm. Maybe there's some food, you know, on this dude's face while he's sleeping.
Yeah, that would never, ever, ever happen to me. Because as soon as the first ant crawled on my face or arm, I would be out of that apartment. Ugh.
I mean, you'd rather sleep on the street? I'm pretty sure there's ants there.
Maybe the ants are actually, they're eating some of your packets of data that you send over the Wi-Fi.
So that doesn't make any sense, because there were fewer ants when the internet was shitty, was the way that worked out. You're bad at science.
No, now there's more Wi-Fi, you know, there's more data going back and forth, because you're using it more because it's better. So there's a bigger food source for them.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Or maybe the ants are forming a kind of a psychic antenna that improves my reception.
Hey, that could be it.
Casey Wiederman had written in, hey, Jake, that ant was crawling on you in the night. Is he going to grow up to be president?
Did he crawl in your hair in the nighttime? Because clearly you thought it was okay while you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. I woke myself up knocking over a gigantic glass of water off of the nightstand. And I was like, you know, this isn't my apartment, and I don't really care about the nightstand. I'm just going to go back to sleep. Then I was like, you know, that's irresponsible. I'm a fucking grown-up. I shouldn't damage people's property via laziness. So I fucking got up and got a towel and, like, dried off the nightstand and dried off the wood floor underneath the nightstand. This is why I hate wood floors, Mr. Skull. That I know that you, as you know, somebody who I think is a little more of a like traditional grown-up than I am, I know you're all about wood floors, but I fucking hate wood floors, and this is part of the reason I hate wood floors. You spill some water on them, and you don't clean it up, they're fucking ruined.
That's not really true with any wood floor that has a finish on it, which is every wood floor.
Well, fine. I don't know what it is about the wood floors in the downstairs of my house, but them getting wet just ruins them. Like, if some water stands for an hour, it will just bubble up the finish on the wood, and it will never go down. It will just never be the same.
Huh. Do you know what kind of wood it is? Is it, do you know if it's like hardwood all the way through, or if it's like MDF, or?
I don't know what an MDF is. I mean, I know that it is something that is encompassed by KMFDM, so perhaps it is a rug against war? a rug against WA?
MDF, particle board?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's some kind of thin wood slats, maybe. But I don't know why I think that. I don't know shit about dick. It's probably like, given the way that everything else in my house is, it's probably like not the most expensive thing, but the second most expensive thing that you could get in like 1980.
Right.
Like that's kind of the sense that I get was the sort of construction ethos of the people that built my house. You know, it was like definitely really nice, but not crazy high end.
I think that your house was decorated by people with a decent amount of money and no taste.
For the most part. I think it was just built. It was custom built by like old people, right?
Yeah, well, like gold plated fixtures in the bathroom. You wouldn't put those in if you were doing that yourself.
That's... Oh, you mean you use like gold colored instead of like silver colored fixtures, or like? I would go for like dull.
Yeah, or anything else. You know, like the bathroom off of the bar. Black marble sink. Not something that you or I would put in a bathroom, but something that like Gene Simmons would put in a bathroom.
Really?
You know, like somebody with a lot of money and not a whole lot of taste.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't...
I'm not saying you don't have any taste. I'm saying that, you know, whoever decorated that.
Sure, no, and I mean, like, the thing, most of the things that I don't like about the... I'm just sort of curious as to our two different takes on this. Most of the things that I don't like about that kind of stuff are just, like, practical concerns. The reason that I don't like that bathroom is because there is literally nowhere to put a fucking bar of soap in the entire bathroom. Yeah. Like, there is not a single surface that you could even put, like... a tube of toothpaste on without it falling to the floor. So, like, that bathroom is just kind of useless. It's a bathroom where you can shit, but you can't wash your hands.
Right. You should put, like, a gold-plated, wall-mounted thing that holds, you know, like a plastic bag full of soap.
Oh, yeah. Or I could just, yeah, I could get decorative soaps and, like, nail them to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just, like, get your hands wet and then kind of rub them on.
Yeah. But why doesn't it work like that? Like, you know, imagine, okay, so like imagine that you just built into your wall like a rubber vagina that you then filled with soap. And then when it was time to wash your hands, you would just plunge them into the soapy vagina.
Because then I would,
I don't mean like
I would constantly
like
be getting water or soap all over my tongue. Anytime I see anything that looks even a little bit like a vagina, I have to lick it.
I don't mean it's visually like a vagina. I just mean it's kind of functionally like a vagina.
Oh, okay. Then I get soap all over my dick.
No, it's
and
not
I
too
hate,
high.
I hate having soap on my dick. You don't know how high my dick can go.
Yeah. Yeah, putting one of those on the wall in the shower would be good, too.
Mm-hmm. That would serve so many purposes. Well, at least two.
Yeah. Both washing your dick and washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Seriously, fucking ants all over me, every minute of every goddamn day. I have removed two or three ants from my body since I started talking about the ants. It's like they're listening to me. We need to just. The landlady lives next door. We just need to talk to her and say, like, hey, you want to see something cool? Well, first of all, do you think that millions of ants are cool? Can you imagine a situation where there were like a million ants? Doesn't that sound cool? Yeah. You want to see something cool? That's how the conversation will go. And if she says no, I'll be like, then man, your apartment could really use some cooling off.
Here, let me give you an ant starter kit that I collected in 30 seconds from my hands. sitting in this apartment.
Oh, and... man. That, you know what? I should get an ant farm while I'm here. I have an ant farm that I got, like, for Christmas a couple years ago that I never did, like... You can either order ants for it, and I don't think, especially given like this situation now, the idea of bringing myself to paying for bugs,
right,
is really like, you know, I just don't think that, like, I don't think I would ever buy a pet that I would have to buy crickets to feed it, because like, I'm not paying for fucking crickets, you know.
So you're saying right now, you're in San Francisco, you're going to get a pet anteater? You could try and switch it to scorpions before you go home. And actually, you haven't had scorpions for a while at your house at home, have you?
Yeah, well, I don't think so. I haven't seen... Well, I only saw 3 or 4 inside last year, which is so many fewer than before, that it counts as none.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. So, at this point. So it's like, I was not particularly judicious about going out and killing them in the out of doors. I've been thinking about getting chickens.
Chickens eat scorpions?
They do. They apparently are like super, super effective at keeping scorpions out of your yard.
Huh.
Well, rather, leaving them in your yard, but converting them to chicken shit before putting them there.
Boy, I don't need anybody to convert.
And then, you know, and then like eggs. You know, you'd have eggs.
Yeah.
I can mail you some eggs.
Yeah.
That'd be great. You could do a science project to see if what kind of container you need to mail an egg in so it doesn't get broken.
Yeah, have a contest. And the containers, you can only use pretzels and marshmallows. I think the only time that I ever actually did one of those competitions, that was the constraint. You could only... The container that you made had to be made out of pretzels and marshmallows.
Huh. I'd always heard them being like rubber bands and cardboard boxes. I never actually did one. My science classes were all about just... giving me impossible things to do and failing me when I failed at them.
Hmm.
Yeah. Fuck science. I'm watching some Mythbusters.
Like getting the cat's brain out with the eyeballs still attached?
Yeah, we stayed after class to do that. We got one of the eyeballs still attached, but the other one we tried to staple back on, and that apparently didn't count.
I would have given you points. Chris O'Callaghan says, "Hi, Chicken Scully. Can I give a shout-out to my future self from my past self? I'd really like to say hi to me on the show. Thanks." No, we don't do shit like that. Data Vortex wrote, "The number of trophies hidden in new content releases seems to be on a downward trajectory. Can you please comment?" Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's like a thing that we hardly ever think of. Or we think of it. Like, I feel like there have been half a dozen trophy ideas. Like, Hot Stuff is good about whenever I'm talking about, you know, some content. He's like, "Oh, we should put a trophy in for doing this." And I'm like, "Yeah, we totally should." And then we just totally don't. I don't know. Data Vortex says, "Why was there no in-game event for Martin Luther King Day yesterday? Do you hate black people even more than before?" Oh, it is impossible for me to hate black people more than I did before.
There was content, but you had to be black to see it. We thought that it would be...
Oh, yeah.
We could best honor the spirit of Martin Luther King by having segregated content push on that day.
Yeah.
There was a special... there was a little fountain next to the superfluous fountain that you were allowed to drink from if you were black. So, you know, it's kind of a special thing. You don't have to drink from the fountain that all those filthy white people drink from.
I wasn't sure if I went too far when I was joking with Lislar at Columbus when she was like, she was like, "I'll be back, I have to go to the bathroom." And I said, "You know, there's a special bathroom for you people." By which I mean women. And because it was true.
Right.
But then I felt a little bad. I was like, you know, that might have been too far.
Well, I got over my moment
usually
of...
Usually when I'm worried about it, that's kind of a bad sign.
My moment of racial awkwardness was when I was taking the handoff from her on the radio the first time. Because I tend to hit K twice, when somebody says, you know, like 1 minute, I say KK, 30 minute seconds, KK. And I just kept hitting an extra K. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not in the clan anymore. Yeah. Some of my best friends are black.
I met a black guy once.
Some of my best friends are gay and black.
Dave Vortex said, can you talk about Final Fantasy? You know what I did do is I actually watched the whole I Have a Dream speech again yesterday. That was a good fucking speech.
Yeah, it's a good speech, and he was a hell of an orator. And no, orators aren't the guys who hunt down bad wizards in the Harry Potter universe.
Right.
Necessarily.
Doesn't Auror actually mean something? Is it like, Rowling didn't make that word up, did she?
It seems like she did.
Huh.
I think it's one of those words, like a lot of the spell words, that are kind of a combination of Latin roots and hillbilly slang. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like augury.
It's not a Merriam-Webster.
To augur something is to predict the future, like find hidden things. So when you took the
that's like A-U-G-U-R, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Huh. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Who knows?
Maybe you're thinking of a Cockney guy describing something terrible.
Sorry. Say again?
Maybe you were thinking of a Cockney guy describing something terrible.
Uh-huh. It was an horror.
The absolute horror. Yeah, I'm as good at being Cockney as Dick Van Dyke is.
Or when Cockney Marlon Brando was at the jungle. It was all the horror. Yeah. Yeah. Dictionary.com asks, did you mean A-U-R-A-R?
Of course we did.
Which is weird. Yeah. Data Vortex also wrote, can you talk about Final Fantasy 13 and its three incarnations? Who among the asymmetric crew will be playing it? I don't know if any of us.
No, I will not.
All right. Has your wife been playing modern Final Fantasy? She was into them for a while, right?
Yeah, 7 was the last one that she played.
That was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy that I got the furthest into was like the one that was, I guess it was Final Fantasy 4 in the like real world, but it was Final Fantasy 3 in the United States Super Nintendo world.
Right.
And I played it. I picked it up for like the GBA like last year or 2 years ago or something, and I played I guess maybe like a third of the way through it before I quit. I just can't stand them. I can't stand the random encounters and the fucking just unending cutscenes. I can't. Did you see Murder in the First? Where Kevin Bacon's trying to have sex with somebody, but he doesn't have an erection. So he's all, I can't.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah.
You know, with the cutscene thing, though, like, I've been trying to play Dead Rising for the last couple of weeks, and goddamn. Like, run over here, trigger a cutscene. Run over here, trigger a cutscene. Run over here, trigger a cutscene. Get killed, lose all of your progress, and do it all again.
Yeah, I really wanted to like Dead Rising. And the fight with the fucking convicts in the Jeep.
Yeah, that's what killed me too.
Was so difficult that I'm like, you have to win that fight every night if you want it. Like, they fucking come back, which what the fuck kind of bullshit sense does that make?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're different convicts in a different Jeep.
Every time I started to enjoy the game, it would throw me into a boss fight with someone who A, wasn't a zombie, and B, was faster and had more ammo and was better at everything than I was. Just the first one, the first boss in the first quest that you get, it was like, stop having fun killing those zombies, young man, and go over here and get your ass handed to you by some douchebag with a ponytail.
Was that the weird, like, shooting gallery one where you're in, like, the food court and he's, like, running around on the tops of buildings?
Yeah. Never was able to beat it.
Yeah, I remember that. And
you have to walk, like, 5 minutes from your save point across the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Boo. Now, you know, most of the time that I spent playing Dead Rising, I was, like, playing the very beginning, like, trying to maximize the amount of, like, photography points that I was getting for various things to, like, just keep leveling up. And that was, you know, it was interesting to try and, like, optimize the number of points that I was getting in the least amount of time, but then it got old really quick, and so I was like, oh, I've leveled up enough that the game will be easier now, but, like, nope. Some fucking crazy, like, clown with chainsaws or some shit. Like, but yeah, you know, you make a good point about, like, oh, it's a boss that's not a fucking zombie. Like, if there was a mode for that game where you could just skip the plot, you know?
That's kind of what I thought it was just try and survive for 3 days, killing zombies and rescuing people from zombies. Seemed like plenty of game to me.
Yeah.
So should I play Left 4 Dead? Is that more what Left 4 Dead is?
Yeah. It is, I mean, I don't know if I would recommend playing it on a console, because I feel like you hate console first-person shooters as much as I do, unless you've gotten used to them somehow.
I'm getting better with them, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Left 4 Dead is fun, right? Like, it is very much the, like, you're moving from place to place, there are four of you, and there's fucking zombies attacking you all the time. I mean, there is the occasional boss fight, but it's like a giant steroided out zombie, yeah. Right? So at least it's a zombie. And it's not, you know, Left 4 Dead is like, it does not have a story so much as it, you know, is like, it's got AI, like, it's got the whole, like, AI director thing that it's like, oh, it's been a while since you've seen a big horde of zombies, and you're about to go around a corner. Gonna be a big horde of zombies around that corner, you know, and it's different every time. So, you know, it was fun. I only played it for, like, about an hour, but I had a lot of fun playing it for that hour. And, like, I definitely want to go back and play through the rest of it. I guess, you know, it's one of those games that people describe it as being mostly, like, it mostly exists for the multiplayer, but I don't really have any interest in multiplayer first-person shooters because I don't have any interest in being called an asshole on the internet.
Right.
Like, I get plenty of that in my day job.
Man.
Game Shadow 555! Huh? Sorry? What? Yeah,
so the Xbox, having taken Dead Rising for a spin and Lego Batman for a spin, the most hours I've logged so far is Settlers of Catan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank God that I have this new piece of equipment that will enable me to play a board game.
That you already own. The reason that I bought the 360 was because of Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, I knew that stuff was going to come out that I wanted to play, and, like, could easily justify, like, sort of needing to play as a you know, an aspect of my career that I could only play if I had an Xbox.
Sure.
Yeah.
You
know? So, I have probably spent 50 times as much time playing Xbox Live Arcade games as I have playing a game off of the disc on the 360.
And there's also, like, the streaming Netflix.
Like, I own less than 6 games, I think, for the 360, I would say. I just have not. Almost everything that I've gotten has been Xbox Live Arcade. I played a ton of, like, Castle Crashers. I played a ton of Alien Hominid. No, wait, you know, I bought Alien Hominid for the PS2.
Yeah.
So, never mind. But I played, I don't know, like, Symphony of the Night on Xbox Live Arcade. All kinds of shit. It's awesome. Settlers. Do you play multiplayer with other people?
Yeah, I have a perfect record. I've lost, like,
really?
I've lost 10 games in a row.
Perfect loss. Yeah, no. I am no good at games like that. Like, the just, like, Euro board game, like, I don't know why I'm so bad at them, but I just am. I don't think that I have ever played a game of Settlers of Catan that I did not play last. Dominion, when I play Dominion, I usually come in next to last. But, yeah. Hey, should we take a musical interlude?
Surely. Let me see how much music is in the music queue. We're going to call it a little over 15 minutes.
I broke free on a Saturday. storm down in Mexico. And I see my speedometer doesn't work. I cross the desert and disappear into the tumbleweeds. I tip the bottle and bite the line. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. We'll be right back.
Style. You know, somebody sent me a higher quality audio file of that, but it's in some weird format. And I always forget to convert it. Yeah, apparently there exists like a full CD quality version of that somewhere. I'll have to find it.
Well, cool. I never went looking.
Among the other among the things that I didn't play just now is the higher quality version of that.
Gigan Skula, Giga Shadow 555 says, have you guys ever thought about using the plus monster level brings out different monsters in non-slime tube zones? Yeah, I mean, that's a thing that we could do. It sounds like a good idea, but we never did do it.
It seems like something you wouldn't want to do in just one zone. So much as a lot of zones.
Yeah, I mean, it would make a lot of sense as just a kind of a fundamental guiding principle for all content, right? But then that's like, ugh.
And then it becomes the, like, multiple familiar equipment thing. Like, oh, we should do that for two or three familiars. No, we really should do that for all familiars. Oh, we're not going to do that.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it was one of the ideas when we were talking about, like, sort of the stagnation of strategy born of the monster level non-combat chance interaction, like, that was an idea that we had, was like, oh, you know, we could put in some monsters in ascension relevant zones that only show up when you have a certain monster level threshold, and, you know, maybe they have higher drop rates on stuff or whatever. But, you know, then it was like, we just didn't. It's always easier to add content by getting rid of something than to add content by adding content.
Yeah.
Of the Hill people says, hey, Jake, I read in the newspaper that Arizona will be out of Central Arizona Project water by 2012. Will KOL still be around when people start going ice pirates on each other? Okay, thanks, bye. Well, it depends. If it happens, like, post-December 12th or whenever, then no, because nothing will be around after that.
Yeah.
Except John Huzak.
Is it 12-12-12? Is it 12-12-12 that the Earth is supposed to end?
John Cusack would date me if he was the last man on Earth.
I don't know, is John Cusack gay? You better run up and call him a faggot and see what happens.
Yeah. Ouch. I would be unable to resist trying to have sex with John Cusack even if he didn't punch me in the stomach.
Huh.
Yeah. Pablo Monk says, I know you don't give custom tattoos for real-life tattoos anymore, but what if somebody made their whole dick look like the Sorceress's Tower, complete with monsters? Well, here's the problem with that situation. I would give somebody a custom tattoo in-game if they did that, but I would disable their account if they showed it to me.
Hmm.
So, it's one of those catch-22s.
And really, it would only count if they shaved their pubes to match the hedge maze.
Oh!
That's
funny. If
your dick actually has another smaller head sticking out of the side of it, then I say go for it.
Yeah, I mean, make the best of an admittedly difficult situation by tattooing it to look like something that looks like that. That'd be really unpleasant.
I'm willing to bet there are...
You have a twin that you absorbed in the womb, but his penis is sticking out the side of your penis.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Every time you get an erection, you also get a horrible headache because the other part of him wakes up inside your brain.
Yeah. Never.
Starts biting your inside.
Never do what I just did and Google dick tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently there are a lot of people with some elaborate
good old dick tattoo from Poughkeepsie. Yeah. Pachinko had wrote, hey, Jake, did you notice, Google cleaned up its act? It's now difficult to construct a sexually neutral search and get porn on page one. It's terrible. Next, they're refusing to kowtow to repressive regimes. What is the world? Children are the future, and the beaver bong has been pushed back to page two.
Oh. As long as the egg butt is still there, we're all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Egg butt, you know, you could argue that that's sexually explicit. Those pictures are weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been paying a lot more attention to them because I've been masturbating to them fairly regularly since I discovered them.
I didn't realize it was part of a series.
Just a weird...
I didn't drill down into the URL.
Wow, so now suddenly the internet is really slow. I think it's your fault, Mr. Skelhead.
Did you kill any ants?
Egg butt number. A little bit of Monica. Yeah, weird. Let's see. So that was the other question that I had sent aside from later in the What's It. Squin says, will we ever see the sleazy back alley open up into a larger area, a la the Haunted Pantry, or to Spooky Raven Manor and Cobb's Knob, you know, to Cobb's Knob? I doubt it. I mean, it would, the initial idea that, you know, the name Hobopolis came from a Naked Jew suggesting that the sleazy back alley open up onto a hobo city called Hobopolis. What else would be back there? Just like eight different abortion clinic zones.
Yeah, and dumpsters next to them.
Yeah. Oh man, and what you would be fighting is like fetuses in various states.
Yeah.
Because it's like the 1 month and then the shadier 2 month back alley abortion clinic.
Oh, I was thinking of you're fighting a fetus from Minnesota.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh man. And then the end boss could be like Pinhead from Hellraiser, except it's a fetus with coat hangers sticking out of it every inch.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
So we started with pedophilia tonight.
The stuff just writes itself. And I am a huge asshole. Uber Squid says, what is Jit going to be doing tonight? Well, losing fans left and right. Dead baby jokes. You know what? In fact, I think somebody had written in about dead... Corey Douche wrote, would you perhaps ever incorporate a dead baby type of food or booze into KOL? Well, now that you mention it, we are planning on expansion of the sleazy back alley. Everybody knows that a dead baby in KOL would be a container-type item. Container-type item.
Not a shoe.
I want my baby backpack. It's a baby backpack. You staple each of his hands to each of his feet and then fill his mouth with stuff. And it's a backpack.
Right.
It really, like, you know, Luke was using Yoda as a backpack in The Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah, I remember that scene where he was getting ready to go on a quest and he just filled Yoda with all sorts of stuff he was going to need later.
Yeah, like some snake meat in a like a cup.
Yeah. Some semen.
Yeah. I think that was just for fun. That wasn't like he was saving it for later. Was
that Empire Strikes Back or was that fanfic? I can never be sure.
Naruto Uzumaki says, can you make a toad familiar? Yes, but you can't make him drink.
I suppose you could like introduce yourself to a toad every day. Over time, he would come to.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Do you remember that? Sorry, go ahead.
One of my favorite parts of Super Mario Bros. Wii is just the random crap that Toad says.
Oh, yeah?
Like after.
Like what?
When he gets a continue, he goes. Yeah. It's the Toad voice more than anything. It's just kind of like Gonzo the Great via a Skeksis.
Yeah. And I've not seen the Dark Crystal in a long time. I should really watch it. Although I have a million other things to watch. I was doing a good job for a couple days there of watching some Buffy. And then every time I'm here, I'm working. I don't have time to be watching no friggin' TV. Yeah. I had to start taking my laptop to bed with me and making sweet, sweet love to it while I watch Buffy.
I wanna make love to your laptop. Anyway.
Hey, do you remember, I don't remember if you were with me or if I talked to you about this at all, but there was a bumper sticker on a car in Prescott, and the text of the bumper sticker was, I go where I'm towed. It was TOAD. And I thought, you know, that bumper sticker would be like, maybe I could see why somebody would think that was funny if it was, I go where I'm towed, like TOWED. Like, you put that on a car that doesn't run very well, you know?
Yeah, that would be funny.
But, like, what... You know, was that, like, a Toad the Wet Sprocket bumper sticker joke? Like, I don't... I just don't understand. Oh, man. So, here's the thing that I've been wondering about. Every time I go to the kitchen of this apartment, there's a thing on the wall that makes me wonder if maybe I, there are not some things about me that are just going to leave me fundamentally unhappy as a human being. So there is like a little sign on the wall. It's like you know what it is? It's like those ceramic like potholder things, you know? Mm-hmm. But they make like a ceramic tile that's like, you know, designed to put a pot on, but it's like they used to use them to put pots on, but now they just paint shit on them and hang them on like old ladies' walls.
Right, right.
You know? And this one, it has a picture of a bottle of wine, and it says, I love to cook with wine. Sometimes I even put some in the food. Right? And every time I see that, it just makes me angry. But then I think, you know, there are people like, you know, my mom would not be angry if she saw that. Like, maybe she would think it was funny, maybe she wouldn't. But, like, I could imagine somebody thinking that that was funny, or, like, thinking that that was cute, and, like, oh, that's funny or cute, I could put it on my kitchen wall. And I just wonder if a person like that is not happier than I am.
Hmm.
I mean, I'd like to think that they just don't understand what it is to be funny on the level at which I understand it, right? But I don't know. I mean, I think that's arrogant bullshit, right?
Yeah. It's hard to say when that switch happens. Like, I'm a fan of terrible puns, and I'm a fan of jokes that are structured like that, but for some reason that just comes across as, like, cliche and hokey.
Yeah.
Kind of working hard or hardly working thing.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is like, it's like this particular kind of joke that, like, I associate with somebody's, like, 60-year-old mother. You know, and I feel like, you know, say Phyllis Diller notwithstanding, old ladies aren't funny.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. It's like Abe Simpson. I don't know the speech, but there's just something like, you know, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was, and now it's scary and confusing to me. It'll happen to you. And I wonder where the fuck this plaque came from, because the landlady's like probably under 40.
Hmm.
There are also these napkins. There's a packet of cocktail napkins that is still shrink-wrapped, sitting on like a, I don't know, one of those like wheeled serving tray things that's sitting in the kitchen here. And it also has a picture of a bottle of wine on it, and it says, "Forgive me, for I have sinned."
Yeah.
And that also makes me angry. But I don't have to look at it all the time. Like, I love to cook with wine. Sometimes I even put some in the food. It's, like, right over the sink. So, like, I cannot get a drink of water or wash a dish or my hands without seeing it and just getting angry. You know, there are people who genuinely enjoy bad movies, right? Or, like, you know, bad stand-up comedians, say. And, like, I think, am I any better off because I, like, understand that those things are bad?
Right. Does, like, enjoying it ironically make you
is
different?
Is there any use to being a connoisseur of things?
I don't know. I think it falls under the same category as knowing when someone is using, say, then and then or lay and lie incorrectly. It doesn't make me any happier. It makes me able to feel briefly superior to people while feeling angry.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you give up on that, right, then you're just like, all right, I'm just not going to be good at anything. And so you don't want that, right? Because then nothing would get done. I don't know.
Can't give up.
Dryhead wrote,
keep going. Yeah.
No. Dryhead wrote, what's with all the limited content skills that need to be manually permed all of a sudden? I don't know. As C.D. Moyer likes to point out, when I occasionally get a hard-on for something, he'll say, well, you've really had a hard-on for combat items lately. And you know, there'll just be a lot of combat items. I don't know. I've been in a skill book kind of mood. And in general, having a skill book not automatically permed is sort of adding to the list of long-term goals that are possible in KOL. And so that's something that we want to do, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. A lot of people, I think, didn't like that K's Associationsturm wasn't automatically hardcore permed because of the precedent of Rainbow Gravitation being automatically hardcore permed. But Rainbow Gravitation was really, really hard to get, right? That required you to be paying attention, or, you know, it required some foresight. It required you to... it required either for you to have been around for a long time or some foresight. And it was like 5 times as expensive, at least. Maybe 10, I don't remember. But at least 5 times as expensive in terms of, you know, the initial outlay, notwithstanding the amount of time that it took. And so that was why that skill was auto-permed. Olfaction, I just didn't want somebody to, like, fuck up, because that's a huge amount of work to get. There are thousands of these other things. Literally thousands of all of them. And, like, it's going to be forever before they're precious. So, I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Plus, we're going to come out with that skill that lets you cast it on a book and automatically add the skill to your hardcore perm. But that skill will come from a book that you have to hardcore perm.
Uh-huh. And you have to, you lose the skill once you use it. It's like old school D&D magic user skills, where as soon as you use the skill once, you have to memorize it again by reading another book.
Right.
James says, so any chance of us seeing a Tome of Sandwich Making anytime soon, or a Chewbacca type familiar? I was actually going to do the Chewbacca, which is a Jewish cow.
That'd be fantastic. What would a Chewbacca familiar do? How do you?
It would be pilot.
Yeah, it would win at chess against droids.
You know,
I was like, gonna say it could add lines of Chewbacca speak to text, but to the chat. But I don't know how you spell.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would spell it H R R R R R R R. But I think if I saw H R R R R R R R fucking stuff, I would not think, oh, that's Chewbacca noises.
I think it's spelled J R R R R R R R R, which can either make you think of Dallas or Tolkien.
Dallas or Tolkien, yeah. So, Chewbacca, like, all right, so Jesus is a lot of people's co-pilot, right? And yeah. Jesus was a Jew and kind of hairy. Mm. I feel like there, you probably, if you looked at enough paintings of Jesus and just took, like, silhouettes of him, you would eventually find one that was identical to a silhouette of Chewbacca.
Huh.
So, perhaps Jesus is the Chewbacca familiar, and it was inside you all along.
Hmm.
So we've already introduced it. You know, like, hey, Willow, what finger's the magic in?
Oh, hey.
You know, not Willow from Buffy.
No, of course not.
Although, I would show her a magic finger or two. That's what I call my penis, the magic finger.
I see. Because it's approximately the size and shape of a finger. It's the nail at the end that is really off-putting.
If you put a quarter in it, it vibrates. Actually, if you put a quarter in it, I scream.
What if you put ice cream in it?
I don't remember how this came up, but we were during a mystery hunt, we were the notion of just stuffing a bunch of Skittles into your dick eye came up.
Wasn't there a matchstick in your dick eye story from high school?
Yeah.
Like, I would wager if you actually did that, you wouldn't forget about it.
Yeah, no, I had forgotten. I don't think that I would have. It's not that I had forgotten about it. I don't know that I ever would have had occasion to remember it again.
Yeah.
It was a game of truth or dare. So the dare was to stick the non-match head end of a wooden match in my dick eye and then light the other end.
Wow.
Which I mean, wow. Whatever.
No, that's impressive.
It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, what am I going to do? Not do the dare? Or, I don't know, like, what if they had asked me how big my penis was as the truth? I wouldn't have wanted to. Oh, wait.
Well, what always happens when you're playing Truth or Dare in high school is you're like, you dare a girl to, like, get underneath that giant blanket and take off your bra and show it to us. And she does. And then she goes, okay, now I dare you to punch yourself in the nuts as hard as you can.
See, with this one, it was more like, hey, hot girl, I dare you to take off all your clothes. Okay. You up the stakes. Like, when you're willing to, like, put a match in your dick eye and light it, then you get to see some tits.
I did not know that. That's probably why I didn't see a single set of tits in high school. That's not
true. Yeah, no, because you never once did that. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird, man. It was like the stakes were higher in that game. That was probably dangerous. Not in terms of like heat, but splinters.
Yeah.
Because that would have been how the, you know, I would not have wanted to explain that to a doctor, so I would have just not gone to the doctor, and it would have just like festered and probably then closed off my urethra, and then I would have died of an exploded bladder.
Yeah.
Because the second dare, the follow up dare was to actually give myself a urethral enema of Pepsi and Pop Rocks. I don't think that the phrase urethral enema has ever come out of me before.
I don't think an actual urethral enema has come out of you before either.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like we're talking just like the opposite of a catheter.
I don't know.
Dude, I heard
that. What the opposite of a catheter would be.
I heard that the gay guys totally will, like, put a catheter in and then use it to fill their bladder up with wine so then they can just walk around at parties filling wine glasses from their penises. Gay guys totally do that.
Yeah. Uh huh. That seems like the kind of thing a gay guy would do.
Yeah.
You know what else they do?
Have sex with the dudes.
Kingdom Sora says, what would you think of a ring of XP0 that would prevent you from gaining experience to keep the Cola battlefield open or to simply keep things challenging after level 13? I using it to keep the Cola battlefield open would be kind of not so much along the lines of developer intent. You gotta battle our authorial control. It's not like it's impossible to do. It's not like it's impossible to leave the battlefield open longer. I mean, part of it is like, you know, the things in the battlefield are rarer than other things in the game because of the limited access to the zone. So really, the limited access to the zone is what gives it value, right? It's what makes it not just another zone with some random MP restorers and shit in it, you know? It's like some stuff. And, yeah. So I know that it is possible using, you know, weird, you know, you level yourself down with some multi-using some shit from the knob store or whatever, but I don't want it to be easy. I'm okay with the fact that it's possible to leave it open longer than it would normally be open, but I don't want it to be easy. Misnomer says, so why is the generic answer 2 weeks for when something will get done? Why not 11 weeks, since it's obviously ridiculous and not even funny? Well, because often I will say 2 weeks for real.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it's...
Or at least and, fully, you know, intending. Because it was like, I
said 2 weeks. Say what?
Yeah, or at least fully intending it to be so. Sure.
Yeah. 2 weeks is faster than you think. If you don't let them give you the gas for the jaunt, that's longer than you think.
Right.
Anybody who hasn't read that short story by Stephen King, The Jaunt, should do so. It's a good story. Spleen Master says, Slime hates it doesn't transfer from a cudgel or crossbow when equipped on a disembodied hand. Is this intentional or just an oversight? It is intentional, because we didn't want a Mr. Store item to give you such an advantage in some, you know, non-Mr. Store related content. sorry. A little bit of reflux. Do you suppose if they made a sequel to Aeon Flux, it would be called Reflux?
I can only hope. And I hope that would make it really trippy, you know, like a bunch of undulating checkerboards and anthropomorphic mushrooms, and they could call it Acid Reflux.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Acid Reflux is the light that you can only see when you are stoned and on acid.
Right. I was thinking the acid reflux would be the really nice section of the coral reef that you can only get to if you're tripping.
Mm-hmm. Like deluxe?
Yeah.
Since deluxe is a really nice D.
No, that's just to take the lux out of something.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was thinking today that this house was lousy with ants, and then I was thinking about the word lousy, and how it seems like that probably means, like, infested with lice.
Yeah.
Do you suppose they used Lysol to kill lice? Do you suppose you could use Lysol to kill lice if they were in your vagina?
I don't know. Do you use Barbasol shaving cream to kill barbers?
To kill my aunt. I have an aunt named Barb.
Well, that makes a lot more sense then.
Yeah, I know.
Do you use Tylenol to get rid of tile? I don't know.
Do you use
Adderall to kill snakes?
Yes. You use Palmol to kill palm trees.
Yeah. Hey, where did that big suit of armor go?
This is a fun game, Mr. Skillhead.
Yeah.
Although I think I'm no good at it anymore.
I think I'm going to make...
I run.
I got to make sure my wife doesn't buy any more baby doll shirts.
Mm-hmm. Because it would get rid of your babied?
Yep.
Babied? Is that like the wampum that we traded to the Indians in exchange for the San Francisco territory?
Yep. Bagels.
Terrible says, the sea is a lot more fun now that the dolphins exist. I really like the sea now that I've gotten the things that negate many of the annoying effects. One thing confuses me. The sea seems like a separate game from the rest of the kingdom. That may be why not many people adventure there. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of meant to be a separate game from the rest of the kingdom. You know, people will start going there when it's done, and it will be done in 2 weeks. 2 weeks! No. It won't be done in 2 weeks, but I am guessing that it will be done within 2 months. We did a huge amount of work. I really, really, really wanted to get it done before I left for New York in November, but it just didn't. It wasn't going to happen. I really had every intention of somehow pulling something crazy out of our collective asses and getting the Nemesis quest and this underwater stuff done by that point. But it just, you know, I think if we had worked only on one of them, we probably still would not have been able to do it in that amount of time. So, yeah. Yes. Yoshleggy says, do you think the CGI graphics are killing other film mediums like stop motion photography? No. I mean, it wasn't Coraline stop motion?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is clearly not.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
I saw this. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I didn't have anything.
I was watching this on Boing Boing yesterday. There was a video clip of Ralph Bakshi, like, kind of flipping out on some people at Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of awesome, because it was like, hey, man, so you've been around for, like, really bad times in the animation industry. Like, what do you think of the fact that everything has just totally gone to hell now? And he was basically like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you and three of your buddies with a couple of computers could make a movie that was every bit as good as anything that I made if your ideas were good and you could actually draw. So instead of whining about the state of things, go fucking make something. Huh. Like, it was like a good speech. You know, it was like Cornmo's speech when we saw Cornmo. It inspired me, Mr. Skullhead, and it just annoyed you.
No, the speech was inspiring, but the music was annoying.
Yeah.
It's inspiring to me that anyone who has a dream can make that dream come true, no matter how fucked up and stupid they are.
I don't think that Cornmo is fucked up or stupid, and I think that he would resent you saying either of those things about him if he heard you. And how do you know that he doesn't play our game? And how do you know that he isn't listening to this podcast, Mr. Skullhead? Why are you such a dick to Cornmo?
I don't know. I feel the same way about Cornmo as I do about Wesley Willis.
Oh, yeah?
That it's not nice to make fun of retarded people. Actually, no, I feel the same way about Cornmo as I do about Tom Green. If he really is seriously that way, it's not nice for us to take entertainment from him, because that's just making fun of retarded people. And if he's putting on an act, it's a supremely annoying act.
All right, man. I don't know why you gotta shit all over everything that I love.
I don't know, but it really did make vacationing at your home awkward.
What happened to my cat?
That's a nice pool table. Would you say you love it? No! Yeah. It's totally platonic. Notice there is no poo on it.
I love the steaks from this place. Wait, no.
I've just finally learned to love myself.
A couple of people, Squin and Zero Blob, both sent in pictures of regarding popped collars of a dude wearing four polo shirts with each of the four collars popped. Huh. I do not believe that that is a real thing.
I'd like to believe that it's not a real thing.
Bo says, are you ever going to reuse the dodecapede's weight mechanic? I don't know. You know, we think about it every once in a while when we're brainstorming familiars, but usually it is in the context of, like, we'll make a familiar that works like a fairy that gets worse as it gets heavier, and a volleyball that gets better as it gets heavier, or whatever. And then we always end up like, you know, let's just make something that isn't complicated.
Right.
I feel like if we did the dodecapede now, we would probably put in some way for you to unweight it.
Hmm.
You know, like, I don't know. I you know, it just seems like if that idea was presented for an item of the month now, I would be like, wow, that is crazy underwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, oh, let's do a fairy that attacks, right? It's not that, like, you know, it's just we've gone in a different direction with items of the month, and we can't really get away with doing another hand turkey, you know? Like, I mean, which is not to say that we can't do familiars that are just flavor, because we do every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't sell. That's good when we want to tank the Mr. Accessory market.
It's good for May.
Yep. All MIDI Bob 4 says, would it be possible to make a new KOL weapon, the Kazooka? I don't know, we kind of already made the musical instrument bazooka joke with the didgeridooka.
Yeah.
And a didgeridooka is more like a, like, when I think of a kazoo bazooka, I think of a bazooka that just fires, like, spit, and that's gross.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if you had a gun that fired spits, like, you'd shoot something, and then it would just, like, cook on a rotisserie that was your projectile.
Hmm.
Hey, have you been paying attention to this, like, Leno O'Brien drama?
Barely.
Yeah. I became aware of it last night, and I read a couple of articles on a couple of things.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I think everybody understands that Conan O'Brien's probably funnier than Jay Leno, and Conan O'Brien's going to be fine no matter where he goes, and who cares what a network TV channel does in the year of our Lord 2010?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to me that, like, oh, yeah, big corporation did something stupid in the pursuit of higher profits. Like, why is anyone surprised by that, you know? I guess we are used to, as, you know, as the kind of assholes who don't think that I love to cook with wine, sometimes I even put some in the food, is funny, we are like, well, you know, of course this major studio blockbuster movie was fucking terrible. You know? That's the default state of things. Like, of course the entertainment decisions made by one of the big three networks are terrible. That's what they fucking do. If you want to watch TV, watch HBO. Right. You know? Like, and I don't know. It's weird to me that, like, yeah, you know, like, people would be super pissed if American Idol got canceled, right? Like, it's weird to me the things that will actually create a hysteria in the American public. And it kind of makes me wonder if all public hysterias aren't just sort of manufactured now.
Probably.
You know, like, I really do not understand what this Tiger Woods fiasco was all about. Right? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get why it became a thing at all. I feel like maybe he pissed off somebody in the press.
Hmm.
Right? And so somebody just decided to start a campaign to ruin him. And it's like, it was not the fact of what he did that got people pissed off. I think it was the way in which it was presented. It was the like repetition. It was the, like, oh my God, can you believe this? Like, fuck yes, I can believe that. Like, what, you know? Young celebrity male, unfaithful to wife. You know, like, knock me over with a feather.
I think the whole idea was he was supposed to be this kind of sexless ideal, you know, like super squeaky clean guy. Like, it wasn't shocking when Mark McGuire said that he used steroids, right? Because he's a giant dude and he's kind of a douche, and you would expect that of him, but Tiger Woods.
I guess I did not necessarily have a sense that, you know, let's say, like, of Michael Jordan. I feel like I have a sense that Michael Jordan is, like, a nice guy, right? Probably. I would be more surprised to hear that Michael Jordan had sex with 100 women while he was married than Tiger Woods. Right? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I just didn't have the same impression of Tiger Woods as most people did. Mm-hmm. But, like, I did not think of him as some, like, you know, pinnacle of Eagle Scout awesomeness. Like, what, like, my vague, like, kind of what I knew about Tiger Woods is his dad was an asshole. Mm. That is all I know. And I think his mom was Asian. So, you know, having been born with the twin hardships of being part black and coming out of a sideways vagina, he overcame that adversity to be good at soccer. Right. I really know very little about Tiger Woods.
They should make a movie about Tiger Woods where he's his own magic Negro. Where, like, he's the inspirational caddy and the guy who needs to learn life lessons so he can be good at playing golf.
Bigglesworth wrote, is there any chance of having pens or something? At first I thought he said, is there any chance of having penis or something in the terrarium? I currently have 98 familiars, and finding the one I need is not always easy. I think that was before the favorite familiar thing rolled out. But what you need is 99 familiars, none of whom are a bitch.
Right.
What does your baby gravy fairy look like? I guess probably the sleazy gravy fairy is kind of a bitch.
No, she puts out. She's a...
Oh, she's a whore.
Yeah.
Okay. So she sleeps with everybody. If she slept with everybody but you, she'd be a bitch?
Yeah.
Okay. Grim says, on marshmallows, in America, the mini marshmallows are considered candy and the full-size ones food, at least for tax purposes. That is weird.
We're going to have to ask for some extra tax income from you this year because you ate a lot of candy. No, I didn't.
I did not know that, like, candy and groceries were taxed differently.
I think that's the same. Something similar goes on in Minnesota where there's not a tax on food that you need to survive, and like, you don't pay, like, tax on like bread, a but yeah,
I guess
you pay
the tax
on ketchup.
Tax on groceries, like the tax on, like, a bag of flour is, like, only 1%, right? Or something like that. It's, like, super low.
There's also no tax on clothing here, so if you can eat cotton, then you're fine.
Mm. Yeah. Well, like, cotton, unless it's cotton candy, in which case there is tax.
Right.
There's text on it. I've invented a printer that will print things on cotton candy. I've actually invented a 3D printer that will print things out of cotton candy, and then a printer that will print on the surface of cotton candy.
So then you can, like, skin your cotton candy printed creations. That makes sense.
Yeah, you can skin your cotton candy and like stitch it to a soccer ball to intimidate your rivals.
Right. God damn, that was creepy.
Yeah, I was thinking today, like, about, you know, I was trying to conceive of a solution to the sort of, like, problem in Mexico. And it is very difficult to conceive of a solution to that problem. Because, like, I don't know, you know, like, legalizing all drugs, right? Does that help?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. You know, if you took the money out of it, they would stop, right? But I don't know that it's possible to. I don't know that it would be possible to legalize drugs in a way that would actually eliminate the black market for those drugs,
mm-hmm.
right? Because somebody's always going to want something stronger than the government will allow you to sell, or whatever,
or cheaper,
right? Yeah,
or without meeting, you know, without being 18 or whatever. Yeah.
They're going to want it to be less safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. you know, I think maybe sending a bunch of ninjas in to kill the leadership of every drug cartel and destroy all of their facilities and drugs might work.
I would be interested to see what those cartels would get into if not drugs.
Right. They would just start murdering full-time for its own sake.
What we need to do is outlaw cigarettes and legalize all other drugs.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of want to be able to go to Mexico, but I'm kind of fucking terrified to go to Mexico, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I like going to Rocky Point. That's something that I used to do all the time, and now it's like, no fucking way am I going to Mexico. Yeah, and it's annoying. Why won't those ignorant savages get their shit together and provide some tourism opportunities for me?
What you need to do is have somebody make you a body that you can drive that's made of Mexican DNA and your DNA mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can kind of, you know, win the respect of one of their tribes, and then it'll turn out that you're the Messiah, and you can save them all.
See, I thought you were making a reference to that movie. There's, like, some real movie where all the work is done by, like, robots that are controlled by Mexicans.
That's just real life, man. That's not a movie.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Yeah, all of the Mexicans that you see here are actually just robot surrogates of Mexicans in a sort of floating in a vat in Mexico.
Right. El Matrix, we call it. Matrix.
You know what I could do? What I could do to ameliorate the problems that I'm having with Mexican tourism, I could just arrange to purchase a Mexican stripper for my home. And then I wouldn't need to go to Mexico.
Well, to fully replicate the experience of being in that strip club, you would need a CD with 6 songs on it and 3 strippers.
Okay.
One of whom does not strip.
Right, yeah. I mean, that one, I don't think that I would need to purchase. What I have found is that it does not cost much to get a woman to not take off her clothes for you.
right.
So that I don't know that I'm going to spend a lot of money on when I feel like it would be fairly easy for me to get that for free on a regular basis. Yeah, you're right though. I would need, although only one of the strippers was actually very attractive.
Yeah, that was the one that tried to blow up.
I could just skip the unattractive one.
Hmm.
I would also need like some televisions with either Lord of the Rings or hardcore anal porn.
Right. Well, it was
of course, I already had one of those.
Yeah. And those are the only two things that you ever show on them.
Yeah, it was great, though. I got that Dish Network plan where you only pay for the programs that you want. And so I'm like, well, okay, so what I want is I want a single channel that is just, it's really amazing how much you can customize it. I want a single channel that is, it plays a Lord of the Rings movie and then some hardcore anal porn and then another Lord of the Rings movie and then some hardcore anal porn.
And it has to have Spanish subtitles.
Yeah, on both.
That was kind of cool because the first night we went in, it was Lord of the Rings, and the second time it was Harry Potter.
Mm.
Nothing like seeing a movie marketed at 12-year-olds playing in your strip club.
You kept looking back and forth between Hermione and the stripper.
Yeah.
And then you realized that the stripper was actually younger than Hermione and decided to leave the strip club.
Why?
Yeah. I wonder if, like, a 15-year-old Mexican stripper would be cheaper to purchase than, like, a 19-year-old Mexican stripper.
Hmm.
Or more expensive.
Well, in that case, time is just on your side.
That's true. But if it's more expensive to get a younger one, then time is decidedly on the opposite of your side.
Hmm. And with that, I think we can probably say goodnight to people everywhere. Maybe I should especially start reading the entirety of Goodnight Moon at the end of each of our shows.
All right.
Yeah.
No. Good night, Ron Hoon.
Good night, noises everywhere. See y'all next week.